Swans have ended a 20-year drought. Stevenson, Cracker gathers, shoots, and Swans have won the grand final.
Hi, this is Dennis Cometti, and you're listening to the Monday Waffle.
Episode 10 of the Monday Waffle podcast for season 2017. I'm your host, Luke Shipway. It's just me bringing the show to you today. I will be joined by reporter Melissa Blomley, who's going to give us a full match report from East Perth's one-point victory over South Fremantle on the weekend. And a couple guests on the podcast today. We have reigning Sandover medalist Jai Bolton from the Claremont Tigers. He'll be having a chat to us a bit about Claremont's form. They've lost six straight, so not looking good down there at Tigerland. But he is also in the squad for the state game this weekend that will be occurring in Victoria between the best from the West Australian Football League and the best from the Victorian Football League. That will be happening this Saturday, airing on Channel 7 at 12 p.m. Western Standard Time. So we'll be having a chat to him about that match. And we also got Peel captain Jared Ugel, premiership winning captain from last year. He'll be joining us on the podcast to talk about Peel's 90-point victory over the Perth Demons on the weekend. The other match I haven't mentioned so far is Subiaco. They were able to defeat East Fremantle on the weekend, although East Fremantle actually had a lead there throughout the third quarter in a game that was a lot closer than many people thought it would be.
If you like footy, you'll love us. It's the Monday Waffle.
Taking a closer look at some of the Round 10 matches out of the West Australian Football League that occurred over the weekend. As I mentioned, Mel Blomley is going to give us a full match report on East Perth's victory over South Fremantle. So I'll get started on Subiaco versus East Fremantle. And Subiaco were able to come out victors over East Fremantle. As I mentioned before, East Fremantle actually had the lead at stages there throughout the third quarter. So a performance that East Fremantle fans would be proud of, seeing that they haven't won a match this season. For them to be ahead of the league-leading Subiaco Lions is a good effort from the Sharks. Subiaco were able to come out on top, though, 15-18, 108 to 11-11, 77. Some of the better players for Subiaco: Lee Kitchen, he racked up 30 possessions, 7 tackles. Captain Carl Horsley also had another strong game, 25 touches. And some unfortunate news for the Lions, despite the win, Chris Phelan, it was his 150th game, so congratulations to him. He earns life membership at Subiaco, but unfortunately his game ended early with a knee complaint. So that's not good news for the Lions, but they got the bye coming up this weekend with the state game, so hopefully he can get some rest up and be ready to go in their next match. Subiaco's forward line, Liam Ryan, he continues his good form. He had 4 goals from just 10 kicks. East Fremantle's Jesse Crichton did a good job on him, but Liam Ryan took his chances when he got them and was able to kick 4 goals. Looking at East Fremantle, Jaden Schofield put in a tremendous running performance for the Sharks, finishing the game with 32 touches, 7 tackles, 6 marks and a goal. Jonathan Marsh racked up another 28 touches. George Hampson had 23. Matthew Watson in a strong battle with Subiaco ruckman Lachlan Delahunty. Delahunty had 17 and 39, and Watson was able to have 23, 7 marks and 26 hitouts. So that was a good ruck battle there from the Sharks ruckman and the Lions ruckman respectively. But as I said before, Subiaco were able to come out on top, 108 to 77. Looking at the Perth Demons and Peel Thunder matchup over the weekend now, Peel Thunder were able to come out victors, 18-15, 123 to 5-3-33. Thunder, the Peel Thunder just dominated from the outset to lead at 13 points at quarter time, 42 at half, 71 at three quarter time, and then ending with a 90-point victory. The win is not only Peel's biggest ever win since joining the Waffle in 1997, but it's its third straight this season to see the Thunder enter the state game consolidating a top five spot with a 5-4 record. At one stage, they were 2-4, so they've won their last three. They've done well. They've cracked into the top five. Peel didn't have a player in its 22 who didn't make a good contribution, with the only one not to reach double figures in possession was Leroy Jetta, and he kicked 3 goals. So, they had contributions from everyone across the ground, including Hayden Ballantyne making his return from injury, making his return to football from injury, obviously a Fremantle Docker. It was his first Waffle game since round 10, 2009, and he was able to kick 2 goals and 13 touches. Peel's big man, big men, dominated, with Jonathan Griffin ending the day with 19 disposals, 8 marks, 36 hitouts, and 2 goals. And Sean Darcy, a young Fremantle Docker listed ruckman, had also had 18 touches, 5 marks, 22 hitouts, and 2 goals. So good effort there from the Peel big man. I mean, obviously, it was a tough afternoon for Perth, but Michael Sinclair continued to do his thing, finishing with 36 possessions and 6 marks. Aiden Tropiano gathered 28 touches. Clint Jones, 22. So some good contributors there from Perth in a 90-point loss. So unfortunate for them, but they did have some contributors through the midfield. You had Luke Ryan, gave great run off the halfback for the Thunder. He had 30 possessions and 9 marks, while fellow defenders Brendan Cox had 26 touches and 17 marks. Wow, that's a lot of marks there from Cox. Sam Collins, 19 disposals, 8 marks. And Zach Dawson, 17 touches, and he had a goal, another goal this weekend. So throwing Zach Dawson up forward is a good look for him, and maybe he'll get a Dockers recall up forward. I doubt it, but you never know. Anyway, just recapping that score once again, it was 18-15, 123. The Peel Thunder defeated the Perth Demons 5-3-33.
If you're loving the Monday Waffle podcast, make sure you head to our Facebook page, facebook.com/Monday Waffle, for more awesome content. And while you're there, give us a like.
Now joining me on the Monday Waffle Podcast is Premiership Captain of the Peel Thunder, Jared Ugel. Jared, thanks for joining me today.
No worries, mate. Thanks for having me on.
So, I don't know if you know this, but that was Peel Thunder's biggest win ever in its history on the weekend, and your third straight win. You must be really pleased with how you guys are playing.
Yeah, no, I didn't realise that was one of our biggest wins. It was good to get the win, and obviously to get another win on the board and hopefully, you know, start securing our spot in the top four, top five this year.
So you started off the season with a couple consecutive victories, and then you lost a few games there, and now you've won three straight. What do you think is kind of made this turnaround happen?
I think getting that, you know, that mix in good with the alignment, our boys dealing with the boys that are coming through, and you know, we've got quite a few new players coming in with our young local boys, obviously getting games as well, and obviously getting them to realise the game plan and stuff. And you know, I think that the boys have picked it up pretty well, and it's just starting to slow down. But, you know, we're playing good footy as a team, and it's just starting to show that we're winning games and stuff. So still starting to fall in place. So hopefully can maintain it coming to, you know, the end of the year and in the next couple of games.
Yeah, and you're speaking of the alignment. You had Hayden Ballantyne play with you guys over the weekend, and you guys have a wing named after him at your oval. So that must be kind of surreal, playing with the guy that he's got a wing named after him at your oval.
Yeah, no, it was good. Having Ballas come back through and play for Peel. Obviously, he's originally from Peel Thunder. It was good to, you know, play alongside him and you know, just learn the way he goes about his footy and how he plays in actual. Playing alongside him was good. Like, you know, you learn little things off him and stuff. So no, it's great having him down. So yeah, looking forward to he gets back up into the Dockers because he'd be pretty handy up there as well. So
yeah, but I'm sure you wouldn't mind if he played a couple more games for you guys either.
Yeah, it'd be good if he played a couple more. But I think he'll go straight back in if he's right to go. So
Leroy Jetta, he's back playing this year after having a year off there. Through suspension there with the Essendon saga and stuff like that, it must be great to have him back in the forward line.
Definitely. He's a big in for us this year. We missed him last year up forward, and it's just good to have him back, and he just brings so much to the club and down at the club with the younger boys. He's a great leader. He's a mentor for the leadership group, and yeah, it's just great having him back out there, and I enjoy playing alongside him. I think me and him gel pretty well, so it's good having Leroy.
And speaking of leader, you've done a great job captaining the side. Premiership captain last year and three straight wins this season at the moment. You must be really pleased with how you've been handling the leadership role.
Yeah, no, it was obviously pretty new to me last year, but you know, having played alongside mature players and you know, Rory O'Brien, Matty Dubois and Tino Mazungu, these sort of blokes last year, you just learned so much off them. I'm still developing as a leader, and you know, hopefully I can just keep improving my leadership skills, and hopefully I can, you know, help my mates better themselves on and off the field. So,
Hughes, thank you for joining me today on Monday and taking your time out of your day to have a chat with me, mate. And it's been a long time since me and you played footy together, so it's good to catch up, and good luck for the rest of the year.
Yeah, pleasure having me. Thanks, mate.
Cheers, Hughes.
Look, I say these things, but I don't write them. Pop the confetti, I'm Dennis Cometti. Listen to the Monday Waffle.
Oh, yeah. Come on.
Now, moving on to the West Perth Falcons matchup with the Claremont Tigers over the weekend. And the Falcons were able to continue their momentum, winning a fifth straight match, celebrating their 120-year anniversary of its first premiership in style with a 32-point win over Claremont at the HBF Arena in Joondalup. The final score was 13-14-92 to a very wasteful Claremont Tigers 7-18-60. The Falcons are now improved to a 6-2 record and improved to third position on the ladder in the Waffle, while Claremont, they've lost their last six matches in a row after starting the season with three straight victories. Looking at some of the better players for the Falcons on the weekend, Andrew Strike, he moved up forward and he shows he's very dangerous in attack. He had 5 goals from 20 possessions and 5 marks. Michael Lowry also booted 3 goals for the Falcons, while Corey Chalmers also had 2 to go with his 18 possessions and 5 tackles. The ball magnet from West Perth, Shane Nelson, had another stellar game to continue on his stellar season. He had 34 touches, 7 inside 50 entries and 5 tackles, while partner in crime Aaron Black racked up 29 touches, Luke Meadows had 24, and Aiden Lynch had 21. Looking into the Tigers squad, although they lost, they had some standout performers from them. Mitch Andrews, who's been in stellar form for the Tigers this year in the ruck, he had 21 touches and 34 hitouts in a strong game from him. Youngster Bailey Banfield had another strong performance for the Tigers in the midfield with 27 touches and 8 tackles, while Jai Bolton, reigning Sandover medalist, we'll be chatting to him later on in the podcast. He had 23 touches. Ian Richardson had 22. Ryan Lim and Kiefer Yu both had 20 apiece. As I mentioned before, Claremont were very wasteful in front of goal, and Jack Bradshaw, who just got promoted back up from the reserves this weekend, he was very wasteful in front of goal, kicked 1 goal, 6. And Alex Manuel, he also was very wasteful, just kicked 3 behinds, did not trouble the scoreboard with a goal. Just to recap that score again, it was 13-14-92 for the West Perth Falcons, defeating the Claremont Tigers 7-18-60. I'm now joined by reigning Sandover medalist and Claremont midfielder Jai Bolton. Jai, thanks for taking time out of your Monday and having a chat with me.
No worries, mate. Thanks for having me.
Tough loss for Claremont on the weekend. You guys had more inside 50 entries and more possessions than West Perth on the weekend. Was that a talking point from your coach? You know, you had a lot more of the footy, just unable to capitalise when you guys got in your forward line.
We've been trying to work on getting more efficient going inside 50, and obviously those numbers that we want in the week, so it's something to work on in the coming weeks, and hopefully we can turn that into more scoring opportunities in the next few rounds.
You obviously got the state game this weekend, so Claremont will have a week off, and then you follow the state game with another bye. You guys see it as a good chance to, you know, get your rest up and head into the... You're opening up the new home ground following your bye, so it should be a good way to come off 2 weeks of rest.
Yeah, well, there'll be different players at different stages and that sort of thing. So some of the older players see it as a good chance for a rest. Some that have come through injury and that sort of stuff and missed a bit of footy in the pre-season, that sort of thing, might see it more of a chance to do a little bit of a mini pre-season over the 3 weeks that we've got there, gain a bit of fitness and that sort of thing. So just depending on where you're at within the playing list, would depend how you approach this period.
And you guys must be really excited being able to play in your new home. Oh, not your new home, but back at Claremont Oval there after all the renovations that's been going on there.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting. I'll look through the new stand and the new rooms, that sort of stuff during the week. And, yeah, it looks amazing. So, yeah, we're pretty excited to get there and have a home instead of, yeah, I suppose, going from Oval to Oval, not having a home base, which has been not as tough as what it is made out to be, but still, yeah, we're pretty excited to get in there.
Now, you're in the extended squad for the state game this weekend for WA. If you do get the chance to play for WA against Victoria, I mean, how exciting would that be, again, play against some of your mates back there in Victoria where you're originally from?
Yeah, it'll be good. Haven't seen a couple of them that are in the squad since I've moved over here, so good to be on the other side, I suppose, and go up against them. And so there'll be plenty of bands on the field, which will be good.
How do you think the WA players, the players from the West Australian Football League, will be able to adapt to kind of different playing style over there in Victoria with different ovals and probably different weather over there as well?
Yeah, we're playing at Northport Oval, which is probably the smallest ground in terms of length-wise I think I've ever played on. So will be a big difference to over here. And also they've got a turf cricket pitch in the middle, which just becomes a mud pit as soon as any sign of moisture comes about. So definitely different playing styles, which we'll have to try and adapt to. Luckily, we've got a few blokes from the team who have played a fair bit of footy over in Victoria. So hopefully, with their experience, that's the stuff they can pass on to blokes who haven't. We can adapt pretty quickly and, hopefully use our strengths that our squad's got to overcome them.
Well, Jai, thank you for talking to me today on the Monday Waffle Podcast, and good luck if you make the WA squad for this weekend state game, and good luck with the Tigers for the rest of the season.
Cheers, mate. Thanks for that.
Don't forget to go to the Monday Waffle Facebook page and throw us a like and follow us on Twitter.
Now to a full match report from the match of the round on the weekend, East Perth Royals versus the South Fremantle Bulldogs. Our reporter, Melissa Blomley.
East Perth have claimed their fourth consecutive victory in a nail-biting one-point win over South Fremantle at Fremantle Community Bank Oval on Saturday, while South Fremantle have lost their last two matches after losing to Subiaco last weekend. The final score was 10-11-71 to 10-10-70. The Bulldogs began the game strongly, kicking three of the first four goals of the game. Their lead quickly vanished, though, with goals from Jackson Nelson, Tom Lamb and Scott Jones seeing the Royals lead by a goal at quarter time. Two quick goals to Jack Strom at the start of the second term almost saw the Bulldogs blow the game open, before East Perth's Will Schofield kicked one to stem the tide. By halftime, South Fremantle were up by a mere point. The rain in the third quarter didn't stop South Fremantle. South kicked the only three goals of the third quarter, giving them a 22-point lead, when Corey Dell'Olio kicked his third goal to start the last term. Lamb's second goal saw hope for the Royals. Lamb marked and kicked another goal at the 24-minute mark of the final quarter, leaving the margin to just 5 points. Mark Hutchings had a chance to put the Royals in front, but couldn't make the distance from 50, only to get a second chance much closer to draw the scores level. West Coast Eagle Drew Petrie then took a shot from outside 50, landing short of a goal, but was rushed for a behind to lead East Perth to victory by 1 point. Some of the better players for East Perth were Luke Partington, who had 32 possessions, while Mark Hutchings had 27 disposals and a goal. For the Bulldogs, Hayden Scloyth continued his good form, collecting 31 possessions and laying 10 tackles. And Tim Kelly worked tirelessly, racking up 25 possessions and 6 inside 50 entries. Tom Lamb was the leading goal kicker for the Royals with 3 goals, while Jack Strom led the goals tally for the Bulldogs, kicking 4 goals for the day. Mel Blomley for the Monday Waffle.
With it just me hosting today, got no one with me, so we don't have any tipping segment. Also, there is a state game on the weekend, so no waffle matches will occur this weekend, so we don't need to do any tips from any of us. But just to review some of the performances from our tipsters over the weekend, everyone got 3 right except for Mia and Sean. And Sean actually put in his tips, but Mia didn't, so she got the away teams. So, Sean, you need to lift your game, and Mia, you need to put in your bloody tips. So, that's all I'll say about that. And just to update the leaderboard, Mel is still on top. She's on 31. Tash is on 29 in second. Jimmy's on 28 in third. Jared is on 27 in fourth. And yours truly is tied for fifth on 26 with Hannah. Just reviewing the ladder after round 10 in the West Australian Football League, Subiaco is two games clear atop of the ladder. They've got 32 points and a whopping 146%. South Fremantle, they've won six games, lost three after losing their last two consecutively. They're in second spot. West Perth is tied with them on points, but lower in percentage. They're in third. Peel's in fourth with five wins and four losses. Swan Districts is in fifth with five wins and three losses. Peel's just ahead of them on percentage. East Perth in sixth position. They've won their last four matches to race up the ladder to be in sixth position. They've got four wins, five losses. They are one game ahead of Claremont, who have three wins and six losses. Perth have two wins, seven losses. They're in eighth. And East Fremantle yet to have a win into the season 2017, sitting down the bottom with no wins and eight losses. As I mentioned before, there is no waffle games this weekend with the state game in Victoria the weekend. The state game is between the best from the West Australian Football League and the best from the Victorian Football League. That will be aired at 12 p.m. Western Standard Time on Channel 7. Make sure you tune in, West Australian footy fans, and cheer on your side against the Vics. I'd just like to thank Jai Bolton and Jared Ugel for joining me on the Monday Waffle podcast today, and reporter Melissa Blumley for her match report. I'm Luke Shipway, and you're listening to the Monday Waffle.
Thanks for listening to the Monday Waffle, proudly brought to you by the students from ECU Broadcasting.